The Department of Classics and Archaeology presents Homer and His Legacy.
So, you ask me the name I am known by, Cyclops. I will tell you. But you must give me a guest gift, as you've promised. Nobody. That's my name. Nobody. So my mother and father call me, all my friends. But he boomed back at me from his ruthless heart. Nobody? I'll eat nobody last of all his friends. I'll eat the others first. That's my gift to you.
La tre polla de doche le coste iscune che è unem. E paisto io anacto sa parte voi angelos etem. Helios os penoese mi caso memus pilureti.
Those were only a few lines from the Greek poetry of Homer. According to the ancient tradition, Homer was the poet of the Iliad and the Odyssey. These are two very long and ancient poems, and their theme is heroes, war, and the gods. But who was Homer? Where was he born? When exactly did he live?
Certain is known about the life of Homer. Some scholars have observed a number of differences in style between the Iliad and the Odyssey. This led some to believe that Homer was not a composer of both works, and that the two poems were composed by two different poets or group of poets. There are others who believe that Homer was in fact one person and his style changed over time.
The setting of the Iliad and the Odyssey is the War of Troy, which historians date to 1200 years BCE. However, modern scholars believe that Homer's poetic style indicates that the poems were composed much later, around 850 BCE or even later. The birthplace of Homer has always been a matter of controversy, but the dialect of the poem suggests this was somewhere on the coast of Asia Minor.
According to the general belief, the Iliad and the Odyssey were first transmitted orally for a number of centuries. During this oral period, the two epic poems continued to change and develop. However, with the invention of writing, the Greek version was permanently transcribed. In this day and age, the translation of Homer's epics can be found in every language, but this also creates other issues, as each translation is an interpretation of the translator.
In the Iliad, the heirs of the two works, the fighting has been going on for 9 years to get back Helen. She is the most beautiful woman alive, and she is seduced by the Trojan prince Paris, with the help of the goddess Aphrodite. She used to be married to Menelaus, who happens to be the brother of the chief king Agamemnon.
The story of the Iliad starts in the middle of the action. Here we see the main character. Achilles is arguing with Agamemnon on their war prices, which results in Achilles retreating from the fight. with frequent interventions from the gods, the Trojans, led by Prince Hector, are successfully making various counterattacks. Even though other commanders implore Achilles to get back to the fighting, he just refuses. Patroclus, Achilles' friend, offers to fight in Achilles' place by wearing his armor, and this results in him getting killed in the battle. Such a loss is greatly felt by the warrior Achilles, and therefore he gets back in action to avenge his friend. The climax of this epic is the battle between Hector and Achilles, from which Achilles comes victorious. After mistreating Hector's body for several days, Achilles surrenders the body to Hector's father, King Priam, who arrives into the Greeks' camps on his own to ransom the body of his son back. Achilles grants the Trojans a grace period to perform the funerary rituals. Even though Achilles is still alive, by the end of the Iliad, we know that his death is soon approaching and Troy will be captured.
Throughout the Iliad, one common question resonates and repeats itself. Who is the more stronger or powerful man? The epic was clearly set in the martial world, where it's common for men to compete against each other for glory. These men continuously try to prove themselves to be the better or stronger men by defeating their rival as well as their comrade. An example of such petty and impractical rivalry, in my opinion, is between Agamemnon and Achilles. Achilles, one of the strongest and most powerful soldiers in the Greek army. The brave commander of the Greek army, Agamemnon, wanting to prove such a petty point that he has power over Achilles, demanded that Achilles hand over his mistress to him. Achilles complied, but he continued to sulk in his room until his best friend dies. Agamemnon nearly compromised the victory of the Greek army for such a trivial reason. These men, though they are seen as powerful warriors, essentially act like boys during their puberty. The Odyssey is an equally fantastic epic with a different style and approach from the Iliad. The story focuses on Odysseus, one of the Greek heroes of the Iliad, and his struggles to sail back home after the Trojan War had ended. The first part of the story starts by describing the situation in his homeland Ithaca. Since he has been gone for 20 years, everyone thought that Odysseus must have been dead along his way. So, many suitors are harassing Penelope, Odysseus' wife, whilst his son Telemachus is struggling to achieve the transition from the boy to a mature man.
Throughout the journey, Odysseus has made an enemy out of the sea god Poseidon, and the deity tries to stop him from returning home. We discover that the protagonist is currently on Calypso's island, a nymph who wants him to stay with her and has held him captive for 7 years already. Later, Odysseus relates the many adventures he and his crew had gone through, including the fight with the hungry Cyclops, being seduced by sirens and bewitched by a peculiar woman. At the end of the epic, Odysseus finally manages to get back home in disguise and only shows himself to the suitors and his wife when they are trying to string and fire his bow, before ending up killing everyone with the help of his son.
The Homeric epics have left an impact on all generations, as the themes that intrigued the people at his own time still do to this day. The Iliad and the Odyssey follow the themes of action, anger and adventure, among others which still intrigue us to this day. And that makes the concerns of Homer still real to us. Authors, composers and filmmakers still borrow ideas from the epics. One of the best-known films on Homer's epics is the 2004 Troy, starring Brad Pitt, and directed by Wolfgang Petersen. While the film itself is based on Homer's Iliad, the ending is not derived from Homer, but the Aeneid, the Roman epic by the poet Virgil. What made this film so successful was its combination of battle sequences, and at the same time, its story away from the battlefield. As it is expected, the film is loosely based on the Iliad, as it narrates the entire decade of the Trojan War, unlike Homer's work, which only depicts a few weeks of the 10th year of the war. While Troy is the most famous film that follows Homer, there were earlier films which were based on the Iliad, such as The Trojan Horse, released in 1961, and the 2003 TV film Helen of Troy, directed by John Kent Harrison. The Odyssey is also popular with filmmakers, such as the 1954 Ulysses, directed by Mario Camerini, starring Kirk Douglas, who has just celebrated his 100th birthday.
Aspects of Homer also lend themselves to other films, which do not have the storyline of the epics, but still have influences from these works. The 1997 Ulysses Gold is one such film, where we see Uli, who is a Vietnam veteran and needs to integrate back into society once he returns home. During the movie, Uli tries to keep his family together after he faced a number of challenges to get back home, like Odysseus did. In this movie, we explore an area which is not expanded upon by Homer, namely what happens after Odysseus comes back home.
During the Vietnam War, we see the death of soldiers and civilians alike because of the inadequacy of morals and unclear directions given by political leaders who were either politically corrupt or had other agendas that wasn't essentially in the benefit of the American people. People died because of the greed of a couple of rich, powerful politicians. Similarly, King Agamemnon's futile desire to rule over the Mediterranean led to unnecessary death of the soldiers. Likewise, George W. Bush's policies of the war on terrorism left the Middle East in a turmoil that can be argued to be the cause of the rise of ISIS and other terrorist groups in the region. It is therefore no wonder that Agamemnon is continually seen in a negative light as a tyrant.
In constant sorrow.
The 2000 film O Brother, Where Art Thou, directed by Ethan and Joel Coen, on the other hand, focuses on the folktale aspects of the Odyssey. The main character, Ulysses, played by George Clooney, is a prisoner who escaped with two others, and they must face a number of challenges which a blind man prophesizes to them. As in Homer's Odyssey, throughout the film we go on a journey with the characters, where they must face enemies with some corresponding to those of the actual epic. Other films take this idea of challenges and transform it completely, as seen in the 1968 movie 2001 A Space Odyssey, directed by Stanley Kubrick, where the journey takes us into outer space, and like Odysseus, they are exploring new lands, and danger awaits in every corner.
These Homeric concepts that attracted people to films also works well in theater. This can be seen in a number of musicals, dance shows, and live performances throughout the years. Operas such as Il Ritorno di Ulisse in Patria, written and composed in the 17th century by Claudio Monteverdi, was also influenced by the journey of the characters throughout the episodes. In this case, the Odyssey is a story in which the characters, both mortal and divine, express themselves throughout opera. Clem Slam Ulysses was a 1993 musical production written by the famous artist Prince, which combined live performance and video with 13 previously unreleased songs. Each number focused on a particular challenge or important character that Ulysses meets. The Golden Apple, a musical set in modern time, adapts parts of both the Iliad and the Odyssey, where it is set in Washington, and Ulysses, the main character, has just come back from a military service from the Spanish-American War.
As to be expected, the tastes related by Homer are also popular in music, where the stories are told or symphonies composed to reflect their sentiment. Max Bruch was a German composer who composed three symphonies related to the ancient Greeks, but also Homer, Odysseus, Leonidas, and Achilles. His most famous of the three remains Odysseus, which also incorporated a choir to further deliver its messages. Other works, such as the Odyssey, was part of an album with the same name by Symphony X, which is a 24-minute musical interpretation of the poem. It is split into 8 parts, which mirrors the journey the character passes through, and involves a mix of instrumental and vocal pieces.
The lasting legacy can also be seen in literature, where authors and poets either take the characters of Homer and use them in their works, or instead take only the themes which he touched upon. One of the most important works in the 20th century that touches on this subject is Ulysses, which is a modernist novel by James Joyce. Set in 1904 and following the story of Leopold Bloom, one quickly starts noticing similarities with the Odyssey. The book is split in 18 episodes, most of them named after a Homer character, with these chapters split into 3 main parts, the Telemachia, the Odyssey, and the Nostos. Along with the names, the interactions between the characters also follow those written in the epic. Homeros, an epic poem published in 1990 by Derek Walcott, uses loosely some of the characters from Homer, such as Achilles and Hector, with the context being the island of Santa Lucia, where Walcott himself was born. Most of the poem is in the late 20th century, and it moves from one character to another, without picking one as the main hero. As happens in Homeros, some authors have followed the tradition of writing epic poems, most referring in one way or another to the original epics by Homer. This can also be seen in War Music, another epic poem by Christopher Logue, which is an attempt to create a modernist poem based on the Iliad. This project caused controversy amongst classicists, as Logue does not know ancient Greek and he had to depend on other translations.
Other books are more adventurous in their take on the Odyssey, such as the Penelopiad by Margaret Atwood, which focuses on the wife of Odysseus, Penelope. The story is rewritten from her perspective, where we get a completely different view from the traditional telling. In this case, her husband is not seen as a hero, but as a drunk and a disloyal man, and also touches on the theme of feminism and gender equality, which are also very relevant topics today. Obviously, the amount of literature influenced by Homer to this day is impossible to mention here today. Yet, we should keep in mind that these themes, which went very well with the audience in his time, are still attracting audiences today.
The world hasn't really changed a lot from the ancient times. Sure, we now have technology and gadgets making it easy for us to do things and go elsewhere. However, issues such as war, greed, migration are still prominent and ongoing. In fact, right now we are at the melting point of such issues such as the Syrian war, Israel and Palestine conflict, the presidency of Donald Trump, and the influx of refugees to the West. Funny enough, we have more things in common with the classic epics than we actually think. Men like Paris and Hector were essentially in over their heads. They didn't have the ability to defeat the Greeks without the continuous support of the gods. Though they were the main generals of the Trojan army, they weren't dependable. Patrocles overestimated his ability to help, rushed into battle, dressed as Achilles, a foolish choice, and got himself killed. He, though I do pity him, was unwise to think that he could match his friend's ability to fight.
War, I know it well.
and the butchery of men. Well, I know, shift to the left, shift to the right, Matov, Tenet, Shield. That's what the real drill defensive fightings mean to me. I know it all.
War culture is something that seems to transcend time. As long as humans exist in this world, it seems that so would war. Events of 2016 leaves me wondering, how would it get worse? Those who firsthandly engage in war, such as the soldiers and the victims, are those who get such a traumatic experience. There are those who either rise up to these challenge or completely lose themselves. The suffering of soldiers are because they devote themselves to the leaders, who they think to be wiser and braver than the rest, in both the classic epics and the modern world. I must clarify, I'm not saying the soldiers are helpless victims as they choose to go to war. They would have known from the start that there's a possibility of them dying in action. Furthermore, in the Odyssey, the main character, Odysseus, tries to warn and protect his soldiers. However, they refuse to listen and get themselves killed, implying that the fault doesn't always lie on the leader, but also the soldiers. The Myrmidons were the soldiers of Archelaus, known to be the most skilled and fearless sector in the army. The Myrmidons, along with Archelaus, view the war to be unjust, however, rather than refusing to fight, they fight and kill with no clear motives, like puppets. Their view on war has shaped them into a cold-hearted killing machine. In war, they have the duty to follow, to bring glory to the Greeks. And because they have no clear motives, they have resorted in killing without restraint, and even consider dying in battle a honor.
Fate is the same for the man who holds back, the same if he fights hard. We are all held in a single honor, the brave or the weaklings. A man dies still if he has done nothing, as one who has done much.
This translates to the modern time. We see soldiers dying in battlefields as heroes for the safety and glory of their country. Is it a label given by society for their sacrifice to normalize their death? Rather than fully understanding who they were fighting against, most just blindly followed the orders given to them. As seen in both Vietnam and Afghanistan, American soldiers thought themselves to be the bringers of democracy and peacekeepers. However, to the native people, they were militants and colonizers, essentially an unwanted presence. Another similarity is the trauma faced by soldiers. Archelaus goes insane after the death of Patroclus. His behavior is similar to the PTSD victim. For Archelaus and many victims, the battlefield proves themselves to be a difficult place. They become so engrossed in battle that they forget themselves and their lives beyond the battlegrounds. There have been many incidents of soldiers returning home and unable to readapt. Rather than living after the war, they choose to die in the battle, as that's all they know. At the end of the Iliad, we see Achilles willingly accepting his death on the battleground. He chooses to fight and avenge his friend rather than having a life after the Trojan War. Death doesn't scare Achilles anymore, as what he's truly scared of is living.
By God, I drive our Argives into battle now. Starving, famished, and only then, when the sun goes down, lay on a handsome feast. Once we've avenged our shame, before then, for me at least, neither food nor drink will travel down my throat, not with my friend dead.
How can he carry on without his friend Patroclus by his side? Likewise, many veterans are unable to let go of everything that happened in the battlefield. Archelaus can there be seen as the voice of veterans who had their morals destroyed and seen and lived through the death of their comrades. The leaders were men who were deep in pride, unable to compromise, apologize, retreat, and tempted by their greed for glory. A modern-day example would be the American war in Iraq. Rather than doing it for democracy, it was done to obtain oil and other resources. Yet, in the process, thousands upon thousands of soldiers were killed along with Iraqi people who were massacred. The conflict between safety and glory was faced by Iraqis is also faced by people in the present time. Anywhere else, these epics have a strong connection to America. America's tendency to draw from the past. Greece was seen as the founders of democracy. America sees itself as the protectors of democracy. In fact, the wars that have been declared in the past were all in the name of democracy. Political objectives are vibrant throughout the epics, and so by linking it to modern issues, the kidnapping of Helen can be understood as an excuse employed by the Greeks to invade Troy, resembling many excuses made by politicians to declare war or state of emergency. The Vietnam War was declared over an excuse, likewise the attacks made by George W. Bush after the attack on the Twin Tower to assert American dominance over the Middle East. I must warn you, the examples I have given are controversial and you may not have the same opinion as me. But worry not, you are entitled to your own opinion as I am to mine.
As we have just seen, Homer's epics have inspired generations of artists due to the everlasting nature of his work and the themes in them. This ensures that in art, music and literature, the legacy of the Iliad and the Odyssey will forever live on, both in its original glory and also evolve into new forms.
This program was brought to you by the Department of Classics and Archaeology in collaboration with Campus FM. Presented to you by Nico Muscat and Merish Kembri, Lee Scrapples, and Tufi Rangan, with a special thanks to Mr. Carmel Saracino.